catch and release and stay in the margins and find my peace. Just a geezer.
WIOX is supported by the Slider Agency on Main Street in Margaretville, a neighborhood independent insurance agency educating consumers about the hazards related to uninsured drivers and about insurance coverage options. Open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. More information at 845-586-2641 or slideragency.com. WIOX is supported by the Mountain Eagle, the community newspaper and website serving the Catskills region, covering Delaware, Schoharie, Greene, and northern Ulster counties, with local reporting, regional events, school sports, letters, and features. All in the Mountain Eagle. WIOX is supported by Tito Bandito's Catskills Taco and Tequila Bar, Mexican food and cocktails, margaritas and craft beers, indoor seating and takeout, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tito Bandito's Catskills Taco and Tequila Bar, Main Street in Pine Hill. Under the same ownership as Binnekill Tavern, the Swiss-German restaurant in Margaretville. Reservations at 845-254-3113 or titobanditos.com.
Hi, I'm Mike.
And I'm Shelia, and we host Pop-Up.
Great pop music from the past, present, and occasionally the future.
Wednesday mornings from 10 to noon and Saturday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Right here on WIOX Roxbury.
Your community radio station, live and local in the Catskill Mountains.
At 91.3 FM, MTC Cable Channel 20,
and WIOXRadio.org.
Okay, you are listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20 and at 107.5 FM on the campus of SUNY Delhi on smart devices through the Radio FM app and everywhere at WIOXRadio.org where it's easy to donate. This is From the Forest every Wednesday 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John's out tonight, but we have Mr. Bob Kanye from Ashokan Turf and Timber in Ashokan, Ulster County. How's it going, Bob?
Things are going good. Busy time of year. Probably the busiest week of the year with the Memorial Day weekend.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How
stress.
Come? How come? People getting ready for getting their lawns ready and stuff?
Yeah, a lot of people kind of doing things for the first time of the season. I'm sure there's some barbecue, the success of which will hinge on us performing some last-minute miracle for somebody.
Right.
We gotta get the lawn mowed.
Yeah, because ticks are bad this year. So you
they're horrendous.
People running around in bare feet and tall grass.
I probably have one on me right now, somewhere. So Ashokan Turf and Timber, as the name says, is both what, lawnmowers to chainsaws?
Yeah, lawnmowers, chainsaws, you know, the basic simple stuff. We don't really branch out to too many of the, you know, different kinds of equipment out on the perimeter. Now, a lot of places, they like to get a little bit of everything. We're going to sell grills and go-karts and all that stuff, but all that we just stick with the core products.
Yeah, and how long you and Warren Krause, right, are the co-owners?
Yeah, 1995. So what's this, 27 years?
Wow.
Yeah.
Coming on 30 here, Bob.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we're feeling it. Signed up for Medicare on Sunday.
All right. So, yeah, it's a long time, and you guys are always busy. I go there all the time. In fact, even when I lived in the village of Margaretville, I found you guys then, so I adventured down the line and went to your store in Husqvarna, right?
Yeah, that's our, that and Exmark are the two big brands that we sell.
Okay.
And we do good with both of them. You know, we got some other minor, you know, some smaller lines that we sell, errands for the snowblowers and things like that. But there's just fewer shops in the area than there were when we opened up, you know, back in 95 between Kingston and Margaretville. There was probably six shops. And we're the last ones there now.
Yeah, there was a shop. Wasn't there a shop right in Shandaken, right?
Yep.
I see the sign.
I don't know.
Yeah, Eisen?
I'd like to get that sign.
Was it Eisen?
I should talk to Tony.
Oh, yeah? That was a Husqvarna dealer, right?
They were, yeah.
Who else?
You had Sheldon Hill originally. They had it. Just people in the business, not just, you know, Husqvarna.
Yeah.
You know, remember right here in town, you had George Crosby with the Cub Cadets and the Wheel Horse and everything else, and you had Brookside with the John Deere stuff. That's all gone now.
How come? How come you think there's less?
I don't know. You know, the Crosby thing, he sold that, and people were, you know, well-intentioned, you know, inexperienced. I think what happened with Brookside, with John Deere, is John Deere corporately wanted to go to all these big multi-location store owners, and you got to put up a building and everything. And you know, sometimes, yeah, they're doing great with their cars and the other stuff that they do. They said, we don't, you know, they're not going to make that investment just to keep the tractors.
Right.
So, yeah, so little by little, they're all gone.
Yeah, there was a small engine guy repair place on Route 2 where I live. Right, Arapahoe.
Kenny.
Yeah, guy had.
Yep.
He was doing lawnmowers and stuff there for right. decades, I guess. Right, I don't know.
Yeah, he was.
But my neighbor
Apache generator.
Me. Apache.
Yeah, right.
Sorry. Yep.
Yeah, he's. We lost. I mean, really lost him a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So he's gone now. That's.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Small engine looks like people are busy, but not as many into it. So. Tonight's topic is what's going on with forestry power tools, markets, and more with business owner Bob Kanye. And as we've been saying, Bob is the co-owner with Warren Krause at Ashokan Turf and Timber. And, you know, a lot's been going on in the last year, and wanted to get Bob's perspective on how COVID has impacted businesses. And not only that, but Bob, being where he is, talks to a lot of different people. I mean, you talk to people not only just cutting lawns, but cutting trees in the tree industry, whether it's tree care or loggers and timber. So you probably hear a lot as well. So that's what I kind of wanted to go in today, supply chains and markets and all that stuff that's been impacted by COVID.
Yeah, it's kind of a funnel of information going there, because those guys, you know, the loggers and the tree service guys, one way or another, you know, most of them, a lot of them in the area are coming in for this, that, or the other thing, supplies and stuff like that. So you get a good feel for who's doing what, who's busy. It's funny, the guys all run the saws, but the loggers and the tree guys are two totally different customer groups. You know, I use the analogy that a logger, it's like you're going in the woods hunting with your favorite rifle. So you take, you know, you take that rifle, or the logger takes one saw. And the tree guys, because of what they're doing, especially if they're taking out a tree, residential, you know, not a lot of room, it's not just dropping in the woods, they got to take all different size stuff. So they're more like, the guy going out on the golf course with a bag of clubs. You don't go out on the golf course with just one club.
Yeah.
So they, they're everybody's really busy. The tree guys are just so busy.
Slammed. Yeah.
There's still a lot of business out there because of these dying ash trees. And they're super dangerous right now because they all want to split limbs. And, some of them, you have to come down, even if they're in the middle of nowhere. You better have a helmet on if you start dropping some of these.
I just dropped some a couple days ago over on Upper Sampsonville Road. Dead ass tree. That was over someone's house. Yeah. They're there. They're dead. They're more dangerous than they were.
Oh, yeah.
And,
for sure.
And they're becoming, well, they are past the point of being climbable. So you have to fell them at this point.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Unless you can get a bucket in there.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of guys doing tree work that are fully equipped, the bigger guys. And then there's, you know, some of the smaller guys that, you know, they don't have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth, you know, a truck for this and a truck for that and a trailer to pull these things and track machine. You know, not everybody has all that stuff. So those guys, they tend to be pretty skilled climbers, some of them, but it's quite a bit more risky. They don't have all the comfy tools to play with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny you say that. When I started just felling trees, I had one saw, maybe two, but you got to have a variety of saws when you're doing tree work, you know? Like, yeah. For example, if you're taking down a big yard tree, you have to have, like, a 3-foot bar, man. It makes it safer. It makes it – it's not that you can't do it with a smaller saw, but it makes it safer to have one kerf. less chances if you have to double bore cut it and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know if you only got one, you've got a higher percentage of something going wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's going to get stuck or you're going to find metal in the tree.
Oh, yeah. You always find metal with those big trees, too. Always. You know.
A friend of mine just recently had a huge swamp maple taken down. And a couple of her friends where she works, you know, it's like, we'll take the wood. And these guys left some gigantic logs laying in her yard. That was kind of, and she did it because, like, to save a little money, you know, instead of having to take that away. So she says, I've known her for a long time. She goes, hey, would you mind cutting up a little bit of wood for me? You know, these guys, they did the tree job, and they did a pretty neat job, but, you know, some friends, you could take some of the wood, too, if you want, but I just need somebody to, so I went over there, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I had to use a 394, what a 3-foot bar to get through the one big thing that they laid there, you know, sure enough,
right.
You know, I had a buddy help me out, and we spent 4 hours there, and we didn't finish,
because
you had to section it, and then you bang some wedges in it to snap it at the bottom, and
right.
I sacrificed a couple of chains, but it was like, oh, my God, this is huge, huge wood.
It's an ordeal.
Yep.
And using a big bar like that has its own challenges that I wasn't used to, especially at first. They bend more.
Yeah.
You don't even realize that you're bending the saw because you have so much leverage on it on a big bar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. They weigh more.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like a little bit of – you don't even realize in the handle that you're bending the bar and now your kerf isn't straight is what I'm saying, especially
yeah.
when you're making a notch in a tree with a big bar like that. And the chain's got to be so much tighter too, otherwise it comes off in a hurry.
Yeah, and I don't really do anything like that very often, so I'm not really, you know, for the same thing. You're not used to the little extra technique you need for running that long bar stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's something wrong here. You know, it's getting hot a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So have you heard, before we move on, have you heard any stories about guys cutting ash trees down in the local area? Anything dangerous occur? Unpredictable?
No injuries.
Good.
Good. At least not to the guys. There's some saws got banged up.
Yeah.
And I imagine, you know, some trucks or something. But, the saws, sometimes they just walk away. You know, obviously you can replace the saw, you know, or parts of it. But we've had a lot of body work lately. Stuff just comes in crunched and beat up.
What's a popular saw your average logger has? What's his go-to saw? I mean, you deal with Husqvarna, so what are they carrying these days?
They're mostly running 70cc class saws, which is about a 14-pound power head. Most of the guys will run 20 or 24-inch bars. You know, the real big stuff, they're again, like, you know, loggers aren't carrying big, heavy 25-pound saws in the woods anymore. Yeah, the tree guys have those things on the truck when they got to take a big stump down.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that I got talked into doing. but that's, you know, so the big stuff, you know. And obviously the loggers aren't buying the little, you know, top handle saws. And, you know, they're never going to run something in a 50cc class. They all run the big stuff.
So like a 572?
Yeah, 572, 372, or, you know, the equivalent stills, which I guess are of 462 and
yeah.
That new fuel injected thing they got. So
yeah.
that's the size that they're running.
Okay, 20 to 24-inch bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. At CFA, Catskill Forest Association, we have 20-inch bar, 562. But John started running a 24-inch bar. And it's like, you know, that thing's coming in handy more and more. We might be switching.
Yeah, because you get the reach.
You get the a little more reach, yep. You know. I don't know. You're doing a lot of double bore cutting sometimes with a 20-inch bar. But I don't know. Just wondering. I still like that 562, though, Bob. It is for the money and the weight and everything. I'm still all about that.
It's popular. It's popular. Still. Yeah. You know, they still sell a lot of them. I'm kind of getting low on those.
Oh, yeah. All right. So that brings us to our next topic here. So how has COVID impacted your business the most?
You know, unlike a lot of people who are unfortunate, you know, with restaurants and things like that, you know, the impact for us was just really all positive. It's just all the stuff, you know, it's weather related and all the stuff that's got to get done with the tools that we sell still got to get done.
Yeah.
But there's more people that want more stuff done now. You know, we were talking on the way over to the studio about hurricanes. And we've been selling so many saws. And I said to Warren the other day, I said, this is like a hurricane rate of sales. So to make sure I wasn't exaggerating, I went back and looked at some of the sales numbers. And, you know, the month following Irene and the month following Sandy, you know, we've already sold more saws than either of those storms this month with a few days to go. It's going crazy.
Why do you think?
There's a few different factors. One of them is the tree service guys are just so busy. You know, they'll come in by, you know, 3-4 at a time.
Yeah.
The other truth is that
three or four of what, Bob?
Huh?
Three or four what? Chainsaws and stuff?
Yeah. They'll buy three, four saws at a time.
Yeah.
I think some of them are buying a little bit ahead because they're worried about, things are in short supply.
Yeah.
Let me grab an extra one.
Yeah.
Because the tree guy, they do have accidents, you know, on the job sites with the saws, so they get kind of banged up. And we're actually a little more resourceful about getting stuff. We actually have a lot of product and a lot of stores don't because we buy it a lot at a time and we get a little bit inside information about, you know, what models are showing up when. So I think we got like a couple dozen 372s probably showed up just after I left the store. They're showing up tomorrow.
Still made. So 372 still made, being made hot and heavy, huh?
Yep. Amazing. Yeah, they can't let it go.
Well, you know, Husqvarna, as an aside here, Bob, is a weird company. I feel like they have way more models than steel. Like, the amount of sizes they have.
They got 470cc saws right now.
Yeah, I mean,
365 and the 372, and then the 565.
Such a variety
and
of
572.
Yeah, such a variety of sizes. It's like, how do they? I'm just surprised they have so much variety. To be honest, from the five, what's their smallest one they make? It's a 550, but it's one smaller than that.
There's
right?
a 543.
Yeah,
and then there's all the little homeowner stuff.
Amazing.
And we're selling a lot more of that. You know, a lot of these new residents that moved up from the pandemic.
Yeah.
There's more people like. That want work done than can get it done right now. So some of them are just, I can do some of this myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a little scary when somebody's never ran a saw before and you have to give them a little bit of a tutorial. You can show them how it works, but you can't pass on experience.
Right.
Other than suggesting you really ought to buy some chaps and you know, this stuff's not on the ground, you really ought to put a helmet on.
Yeah.
So there's a few different things. But like I said, we're getting calls from, you know, farther away, where people say, hey, do you got this? You got that? Okay, I'm coming up. Because, you know, a lot of dealers just don't have, you know, people walk in the store, wow, you got product in here. So, But Warren and I, I was telling you before about the files. If there's something that we can't find, you know, we both jump on it. And I had to call, you know, I had to try like four or five distributors before I get chainsaw files.
Sharpening files.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But so we just keep staying on it and set it, you know. There's not too many things that we're out of.
So why is that? Why do you think files are down?
The supply chain is just, you know, steel is becoming an issue. You know, a lot of this stuff is coming from, you know, Switzerland or Lithuania. It comes from all over. And you got these really, really complicated, because you get the parts bags, and there's a country of origin on all the parts. Mm. And particularly with a European company like Husqvarna, there's like almost every company in Europe is making some, or country, is making some kind of screw or bushing or something. And so you have that kind of complication in supply chain, and only one link in the chain. and Augie can't make something.
Right, they won't put it out.
Yeah, well, there's not, yeah, we can't finish it.
They can't finish it.
We got into that with the zero turns, which are just made in Nebraska, and there's very few parts on those X-Mark zero turns that aren't from the U.S., but, you know, some of the dumb things that can shut down. We've got 1,000 of them sitting at the factory they couldn't ship because they couldn't get any seats. Because they couldn't get, you know, the seat manufacturer just couldn't provide seats.
No kidding.
So it's just kind of crazy. So that's why you go by something like we were talking before, because some of the car lots you go by, yeah, and it's like, well, there's no pickup trucks. It's not a good time to buy stuff like that.
It's not a good time to buy a lot of big things, maybe.
Yeah, we can't get any X-Marks now.
You can't.
We got like 3 left. I mean, yeah, we're faking it in a way because the store looks pretty good. We're full.
Yeah, I was just
but
in there.
We can't replace, you know, a lot of this stuff that's there. Once it's gone, we're kind of done.
All right, so what about Warren's maple syrup then?
Yeah, you got to get him to come on. Yeah,
cause he won't come on.
He'll talk about syrup all day long. He freak out about being in here with a microphone and headset.
I talk about Warren's knowledge of maple syrup vicariously through you. Yeah, you tell me about what he says.
He's good. He really knows his stuff, and he dives into it, and he's pretty thorough. He knows, but he's just like, I don't want to do that.
Is he selling maple syrup at the shop now, though?
Yeah, he's got it out on the counter, sure.
He's doing well selling it there?
Yeah, he's selling a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah, good.
He's going to run out because it wasn't as – I think he ended up with a third less sap or syrup this year than the last couple of years. So it's going to be – just everything, you know, there again, like, you know, that's not related to the pandemic.
Right.
But, you know, supply chain stuff, it gets crazy.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest. Tonight's topic is what's going on with forestry power tools, markets, and more with business owner Bob Kanye. He's the co-owner of Ashokan Turf and Timber in Shokan, Ulster County. So, Bob, you said there's a lot of business going on last 12 to 15 months from COVID. Tree guys are coming in buying stuff. Who else is coming in?
The homeowners are actually a little more free spending now. There's a lot less undecided buyers coming in because they know you can't find stuff. And the idea that you got to have, you know, the exact model, we're going to check around. People are making a move. They're jumping quick because let me grab this before they're gone. We only got 3 models of the Husky tractors right now. And we got, you know, 4 of this one and 5 of that one and like 1 left of the other one. And that's going to be it because they're so far behind that they're still filling spring orders. And spring orders are in the industry, you write them in the fall, October, November. Then they got to plan, you know, what they're going to build.
Yeah.
You know, based on all the orders they get from the dealers and from the box stores and all that. And then they forecast, you know, we're going to build a certain percentage beyond that. And they're still filling those spring orders. And they're not going to refill the warehouses for reorders until sometime in the middle of June into July. But now, you know, it's a seasonal business. And, you know, we get through what we got. You know, my thing, we get to the 4th of July without turning many people away. That's okay, but I don't want tractors coming in August.
Right,
that's when
right.
The snowblowers are going to be coming in.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think the recovery is for this, where the supply chain is back to normal?
A couple of companies said it could be like another year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big lag time.
Yeah, because once the pipeline is sucked dry, it takes a long time to fill it back up.
I've noticed anecdotally, working for the Catskill Forest Association, talking to our members, people are spending money on their house and on their woods and stuff around the house as well. So I would agree with the, increased demand or whatever you want to call it. People are definitely spending money.
Yeah, and that's pandemic related in a way. I think part of it's what we see is that people couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So they want to invest in their homes and do stuff like that. Yeah, I'm not sure where the firewood thing's going to be this year.
I want to ask you about firewood. Let's take a break, but yeah, up next, let's talk about firewood a little bit. I know you're always messing around with firewood. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest. Tonight's topic is what's going on with forestry power tools, markets, and more with business owner Bob Kanye.
Walked into the bar and parked his lanky frame up on a tall bar stool. With a long, soft southern drawl, said, I'll just have a glass of anything that's cool. barroom girl with hardened knowing eyes slowly looked him up and down. And she thought, I wonder how on earth that country bumpkin found his way to town. And she said, hello, country bumpkin. How's the frost out on the pumpkin? I've seen some sights, but man, you're something. Where'd you come from, country bumpkin? It was just a short year later, in a bed of joy-filled tears, yet death-like pain. Into this wondrous world of many wonders, one more wonder came. That same woman's face was wrapped up in a raptured look of love and tenderness. As she marveled at the soft and warm and cuddly boy child feeding at her breast. And she said, hello, country bumpkin. Fresh as frost out on the pumpkin. I've seen some sights, but babe, you're something. And mama loves her country bumpkin. 40 years of hard work later, in a simple, quiet, and peaceful country place. The heavy hand of time had not erased the raptured wonder from the woman's face. She was lying on her deathbed, knowing fully well her race was nearly run. But she softly smiled and looked into the sad eyes of her husband and her son. She said, so long, country bumpkin. The frost is gone now from the pumpkin. I've seen some sights and life's been something. See you later, country bumpkin. She said, so long, country bumpkin. The frost is gone now from the pumpkin. I've seen some sights and lives.
All right. This is From the Forest. That was Cale Smith, Country Bumpkin. And we talk about a different forest-related topic every Wednesday here with Ryan and John. John's out tonight, but tonight's topic is what's going on with forestry power tools, markets, and more with business owner Bob Kanye. So, Bob, what's going on with firewood?
Yeah, it's hard to say what the new energy policy impact may be on heating your home next year. So that's still up in the air.
What, from the feds?
Well, if gas is going up at the pump, fuel oil is going to go up.
Right.
Natural gas and all the fossil fuels that irritate some people. So
yeah.
If that happens, then, people lean more towards, the alternative energy sources. And,
yeah.
And we live in a forest, so we're just surrounded by it. I mean, there's enough wood laying on the ground to heat the whole county. So, so it's good that we have that option. But that'll be pretty active this year.
Think so?
And a lot of the people that were only, this happened last year too, a lot of people that were only coming up on weekends and occasionally when they came up and stayed up, well, they want to keep the fire going all week.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys that sell wood, my customers were struggling to keep up with that.
What are they saying about it?
It's really too early to say what's going to happen this year.
Yeah.
But there's none of the guys that I know don't have a place to sell any wood they can get. So anything that they can get, it's part of that supply and demand thing. All of a sudden the amount of people providing various services remains kind of constant. Then all of a sudden, you get a lot of people move up here because of the pandemic. And now there's a lot more customers for that same amount of suppliers. And we see some of that ourselves. And it's just, we can only do so much.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely, if you're a carpenter or plumber or tree guy or whatever, it's you have more supply of customers than you can probably handle.
Yeah, and people are, you know, people don't want to hear that, you know, I'm booked up till, you know, September for whatever it is that you want done. And, you know, but it's easier for guys that it's in some of the trades, you know, people that are doing things like that, or to have it all lined up. And it's like, well, this is how much work we have until that date, and that's as quick as I can get you in. It's a little tougher for us because, you know, we got a storefront and the open sign's lit. So, you know, people come in and sometimes we say, we really can't help you.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the calls that we get are from so far away now.
Yeah.
Places that we just don't go.
And what do they want? They want you to pick up their tractor or something?
Yeah, or deliver. You know, somebody wanted this something, you know, Poughkeepsie. The woman was very sweet. She said, yeah, oh, that's great. You had that model in stock. And it was, you know, what's your delivery charge? Well, where are you? And she says, well, I'm in Poughkeepsie. I started laughing. I said, I haven't been to Poughkeepsie since I played hockey at the Civic Center in the early 80s. I said, I don't go to Poughkeepsie.
Early 80s.
Yeah, so that's some of the stuff that you run into now.
Jeez. Yeah, so you didn't go to Poughkeepsie is what you're saying.
No, I
don't. Do you even go as far as Kingston? Probably not, right?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what we do. We'll come up this way.
Yeah.
But, you know, only really to take care of our own. So there's just too much of it.
Yeah.
And we're not looking to, you know, grow the business right now. We're very thankful for what we got, and it's just humming along really nice.
Yeah.
But we're not really looking, you know, we got to respond to the increased opportunity.
What do you think the average price is of a cord? Firewood?
Ooh, you know? Well, about between two and a quarter and 250.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
it's finally gone up a little bit.
You know, other fuels, you know, go wide swings in costs, and
yeah,
you know, firewood kind of stays about. It doesn't change that much.
We've had people on from Pennsylvania State University talk about energy and stuff, and wood is the most constant, consistent energy source there is.
Yeah,
and it's kind of ironic. Well, not ironic, but I think it's because it's the least regulated. There's the most competition for firewood. I mean, there's so many guys doing firewood. I mean, I guess now it might not seem like there's a lot of guys doing it, but the prices just don't go up for the amount of work. I mean, think about the amount of work it takes to create a cord of firewood.
Yeah, I cut my own. There's a lot of work in a cord of wood.
I know it, too, and I'm always shocked at how low it is. I'm like, wow, $200.
This is going to come out wrong.
What?
But there's – and I'm not going to use the term that Warren uses, but there's just a lot of people that – there's enough people that are happy to just, like, cut wood for beer money that kind of depresses the price, you know, for the guys that are trying to be a little more serious.
Yeah, I guess so, because there's some people around here who have processors and, you know, and I hope they're getting something because now when I went to Eastern Massachusetts, like 5-6 years ago, I saw a cord of firewood being sold for $375. And I was like, all right, I would cut firewood for that much.
Yeah.
But they probably have a hard time finding firewood maybe there.
You get into some more urban areas and the economics change because now, it's, you know, here we're surrounded by it.
Yeah.
And you can usually find somebody to deliver wood that's not that far away. But when you get into more urban areas, it's just more transportation involved.
Right.
And, you know, the customer base is a lot farther away from the wood supply. The other thing that starts getting a lot – because I get fascinated with how – different markets and the logistics of different things work. And one of the things that's kind of funny is that, you know, you mentioned processors, and, you know, there are some guys that have decided, you know, to, like, well, we're going to get a processor and I'm going to get serious about this. But they need, you know, Frank and just a handful of other guys to bring them loads of logs to feed all these processors. So the number of people that want to retail the wood has gone up and they're getting more mechanized, but there's still there's not any more people, you know, buying log trucks to deliver loads to all these guys with the processor.
Right.
That kind of throws it out of whack a little bit.
I mean, again, you would know better than I would. Let's switch to logging. That's a good segue. I mean, are there more loggers now? I feel like there's less.
So, yeah, there's not more.
It's not more.
No.
So that's the problem. You're saying these firewood guys are having a hard time sourcing logs. Which I've heard here, too.
Yeah,
people can't find logs.
Yeah, right. I'm waiting on a load. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's Yeah, I guess what it comes down to is there's more and more people selling wood that don't have the ability to get it themselves.
Yeah.
And then when you get a processor, the efficiency goes way up. So it's not like, you know, a couple of guys on a Saturday afternoon, hey, we're going to go in the woods, and just do it real simple like that. Now you've got, the processor is just like, you can go through a log load in a weekend.
Right.
And you got to deliver it, So there's an efficiency there because that's where you're going to make your money. You're not going to make your money getting the wood, but you need that guy to bring you the wood. And it's not always there. Because I think we said before that, these loggers aren't in the woods. Firewood is a byproduct of why they're actually there.
Right.
They're not there just like to run firewood. So the firewood is really the stuff that isn't worth anything. that's timber.
Yeah.
It's not going to the sawmill, so it goes in the firewood pile. And that fluctuates a little bit too because as timber prices fluctuate themselves up and down, in a depressed market, a log may, the smaller size logs are going to be worth more in a firewood buyer than going to the mill because they're not getting anything for them. Well, when timber prices go up, then that stuff, now that's going to the mill and it's not going on the firewood pile.
All right, so a lot of people have heard about lumber being in short supply and prices going up on that. So let's talk about logs. What are you hearing about the price of timber and logs from loggers? You heard anything?
They're not getting the increases that the lumber yards are.
I know, that's what I'm hearing. What the heck?
And they're complaining. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like by the time it gets there, but it's just you take the raw material out of the woods and it's got to be processed. And, by the time it, shows up at the local lumber yard as finished, stick wood, it's just there's a lot more going on there. Plus, people, there's a lot of people not working now.
Right.
And a lot of the jobs that, people are just. It's not necessarily a career type thing, but you got to work. Well, not a lot of people right now don't have to work, and as long as they're getting that extra money, they're not gonna. So, people, you try to find a business, that doesn't have a help wanted sign out.
If you're just tuning in, listen to From the Forest. Tonight's topic is what's going on with forestry power tools, markets, and more with business owner Bob Kanye. So, Bob, let's talk about that. Employees, employment. What are you hearing about that? Are business owners finding hard to get people to work?
Yeah. I mean, the people that we talk to mostly, we're not, like I said before, we're not looking for anybody, and it would be it's kind of annoying if we did, because, we got a really good tech in the back, and we're not good at what we do, and so there'd be kind of it'd be hard to find somebody to fit in, but we're not looking for anybody. So many of our customers are, and you just can't, they just can't get anybody to work. And it's a problem when you're maxed out and you're really relying on somebody to show up. And it's, I'm not feeling good. I had to fight with my girlfriend. And, there's certain things, and certain positions where you're not going to really get a dedicated person. You're going to get somebody that they're only there because I got to make some money to pay the bills. And, there's no way to, advancement in some of these jobs, just working with a landscape. But they're paying pretty good money. Or what used to be considered really good money,
right?
And they're having trouble getting help, and everybody's got the same problem.
Yeah, I've been hearing for years, a long time. It didn't matter what industry, but it just seems worse now because of the pandemic. I mean, I don't know if unemployment insurance has something to do with it or not, but I don't know.
That's part of it. I mean, it's just it's a generational thing, too.
Yeah.
The kind of work that a lot, I mean, there's a lot of guys that they get involved and they jump in, they want to work with their hands. And unless they've had some of that exposure, a lot of people, they've never done stuff like that. Everything is they spent, their formative years, thumbing their phones, and they don't really have even like basic skills to do anything. So it's tough, but that doesn't apply to, Stewart's can't get anybody to work. A hardware store that we, Woodstock, where, I'm not coming in today. They got to work Sundays. It's really a struggle sometimes to keep the level of, customer service up when you can't get help. That's just another reason why we're just real happy to stay where we are.
Yeah, and you're dealing with a demographic, your customers being loggers and tree guys. It's got to be even worse because that is some of the most, if not the most, dangerous high-risk jobs as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not like a regular, like you said, at the hardware store. This is a job where, like logging, for example, is the most dangerous job there is. I mean, this is
the logging guys aren't running into a health problem because
they could do it themselves.
Well, anybody that's in the woods logging wants to be there.
Yeah,
they chose to do that. Mm. The tree service guys, it's a little different ball game for them because you know, the climbers are highly skilled. The guys that own the companies, they're motivated. Yeah, but sometimes finding ground help and guys to drag brush and throw it on the chipper, that's where they're struggling.
Right. It can be really dangerous if you're up in the tree and you don't have an experienced ground guy. Extremely dangerous.
yeah.
I've messed around with it. I'm not an expert tree climber, but, you know, I know basics. And, you know, I've done some side work where, oh, yeah, you have the homeowner be the ground person and instantly realize this is a bad decision.
Oh, the homeowner's going to help?
Well, yeah, they want to help and want to save some money or whatever. And then you're like, you know what? You take for granted that guy who really knows what he's doing on the ground, knows when to pull the line and not, and or when he lower a limb to get the limb down below you, then have tension on it. This is very important because if you don't do that, where's the limb going? It's swinging towards who? The climber now.
Yeah.
Because you're up in the tree with it now.
Right.
Now you have this half-ton piece swinging at your level when the guy who knows what he's doing lets it fall below you safely. So these things matter. So, yeah, if you can't find someone to do that.
Yeah, man. There's training involved. That's really high risk. You're talking, you know, like heights and things snapping and breaking and falling.
Yeah.
You know, you can't always control. Yeah, you know, the idea is for experienced crew is that you control every branch. But you're just saying you can't have that, you know, weak, uncertain person there that could cause some serious injury.
Yeah. I mean, one guy who we both know, I know he went back into logging and left tree care because he couldn't find anyone to work in tree care because he needed ground guys and more help. And he wanted to be in the woods. He says, I'm making like a third of what I was making, but I can do it by myself because I have the equipment, the skidder and everything. And it would be good to have another person in the woods too, but, you know, affording someone is another thing. But, yeah, he did that for that reason, he told me.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're making me think about something else. The young guys are all going into tree work.
Yeah.
Not so much logging. Now, there's a lot more guys in tree work because, you know, just one operation, you know, you require a certain amount of people. The young guys, that's what they want to do. They're not so much going in the woods to log. The difference is you can, you have to get the equipment, and it could be expensive to have, you know, the bucket trucks and the chip truck and all that. You got to have a chipper. But, you know, your economy of scale is like this job, we're going to bid this job, and this is how much it's going to cost to take down these two trees in your yard. And it's really kind of simple, whereas we're logging. You know, there's a lot more money. You have to get a forester, and you have to, you know, bid the job, and you got to, you know, it's got to come out right. And you can make a mistake and lose a little bit of money on a tree job, but you can't do a 40-acre cut and just lose your tail end.
Yeah, I look at myself, and there's a guy who's in a tree business in our area right down the road from you, and we both went to the New York State Ranger School. We're trained in forestry, right? And since then, both of us, well, he's gone completely into arboriculture, and Catskill Forest Association has moved somewhere in between what I call backyard forestry and remote arboriculture. And it's because your demographics have also changed. Parcel sizes have shrunk. The average parcel size is 18 acres. And also, like you just said, there's less inputs on arboriculture, meaning I can bid out a job or look at it and make money that day, whereas forestry or logging is more inputs over a very long period of time. And it's more upfront cost. You got to have that skidder. You don't have that skidder. That's a big piece of equipment.
You
got
to have money behind you.
You can build up in smaller increments to get that big equipment with tree work, I feel, incrementally easier, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think so. Yeah, I don't think most loggers don't really have a log truck.
Yeah.
They bring it to the header. Buyer comes in, and you know, Tri-State or whoever, they send the truck and pick it up.
Wow.
You know, I think it's probably, you know, 3 out of 4 loggers don't have a log truck. They're not hauling the timber. Hey, they're cutting it. They got the skidder. They bring it out of the woods, and the buyer sends a truck to pick it up.
Seems like skidder is one of the most important things in the Catskills. I remember Empire State Forest Products Association was talking about skid lengths. And you would think, like, the Adirondacks would have the longest skid lengths from where you cut the trees to where you bring it to the yard. and or the landing. It's not true. It's actually like the Catskills, because in the Adirondacks, the paper companies made all those haul roads where they could go deeper into the woods.
Yep.
Whereas in the Catskills, some of these people had 3 mile skid lengths. So now that's going to bring down your, you know, what's economical at that point. If you have to skid out that far, that's a long skid length. It's going to add to your cost at the end of the day. So, I mean, that has something to do with it, too, in these higher, more mountainous elevations like the Catskills as well. It makes it difficult.
Some of the bigger, you know, the forwarders and, you know, some of these crazy machines that you see out west, you're seeing more of that highly mechanized stuff around here now. You know, it's not as much, you know, some guys are moving away from just, you know, chainsaw, walking around and coming to get the trees after you knock them over.
It's surrounding our area. We'll probably see it, I would imagine, last year just because of the steep terrain. The Catskills are steeper than people think. You know, until you actually walk around, you're like, yeah, they call it an eroded plateau, but a grade's a grade.
Yeah, every hill looks steeper when you're walking up it.
Oh, especially, man.
Especially if you're carrying tools or, you know, something.
It's loose rock. It's hard to make roads here, man.
Yeah.
And you'll lose your shirt on making a road, I would think, around here. At least for some of the quotes I've heard from members of ours. If you're just tuning in,
another thing a logger has to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, they got to make roads and they get into these properties. You know, a tree guy don't have to do that. He has to hope he doesn't wreck the yard.
Right. And you have to have a bond and everything else, deal with the town a lot more.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you're just and each town's different. It's just more knowledge to know. You know, dealing with Woodstock versus Olive versus Worsing versus the town of Ulster versus town of Middletown and Margaretville or whatever. It's just that those are things you got to know, you know, where you are. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest. Tonight's topic is what's going on with forestry power tools, markets, and more with business owner Bob Gagne.
Down to the gate, and I was dreaming of the night.
right. I believe that's the Little River Band, right?
The what?
Little River Band.
That's who that was.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Little River Band.
Yeah, here again. I mean, I remember these songs were new.
Oh, geez. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John's out tonight, but we have Bob Kanye on from Ashokan Turf and Timber talking about forestry tools, markets, and more. So, Bob, got about 6 minutes left. Anything new in the forestry tools area?
Not really a lot of stuff new other than things being delayed. There's a new big saw coming from Husky that is going to replace the big 395 and a 390. And it's we had a couple of prototypes.
Yeah.
Because we're in the test program. So we actually had a couple of those. And some of the guys that you know ran them.
Yeah.
And it's a rocking saw.
So it's got electronic carb and stuff?
Oh, yeah, it's got all that stuff. But it's got like the third generation of this now.
Yeah.
And it's something new about it. You know, so many people, and just about everybody that's listening to this that's run a saw at one time, and you and I, I'm sure, have done it, have pulled it a few too many times with the choke.
Yeah.
And then it's flooded.
Yeah.
And this thing, it starts, you know, instead of the usual quick cough and pop, and then you got to take the choke off, it actually starts and it'll run a little bit with the choke on, and then you just goose the trigger, and then off you go.
Yeah.
So it pretty much should eliminate, because it's a pretty good yank to get that thing going. A lot of compression.
That's how my 661 is, my steel.
Yeah.
It'll kind of run with the choke, I feel more. But I like the electronic carb, because I don't work on saws. Like I was saying in the break, I just clean them and sharpen them. And I don't need to fiddle with the high and low. I don't need, you know. So I like it. I like the 562 electronic carb. I've had no problems with it.
Yeah, this is going to be the 592. It looks like a big version of that, but it's actually quite a bit different if you look close. It's got that same design architecture.
Yeah.
But there's just different stuff in there with the filter, the muffler. They use some little steel cables for movement limiters. It's actually pretty cool. It was fun. I guess, am I supposed to be talking about it? You're supposed to sign a non-disclosure thing with these things.
Yeah, but I don't know about
it. The stuff has leaked out a little bit by now.
Yeah.
They went back to Sweden for tear down and inspection. Originally, it was supposed to be released in the middle of the summer, but now you can't get anything on time.
Right.
So I'm thinking the fall would be the earliest. I should call just kind of find out. But yeah, so anybody that might be curious about what the new big ones are showing up, you can't even answer that question. But it's going to be worth waiting for it when it gets here if you want something that big.
What do you think the biggest difference is, being a Husqvarna guy, dealer, between steel and Husqvarna is? The way they run. I feel like I have my own opinion, but what do you think?
I really not qualified to answer that. Because the truth is, no, I'll be honest, it's... folded the Johnsrud brand, which at the end it was just Huskies, different colors.
Right.
Some people say a little better looking. So that's gone. And you think of like in the last 10 to 15 years, all these brands that just left the market,
What happened to Domar?
Well, Domar got bought by Makita, and Makita has already announced that they're going to exit the whole gas tool market next March. So that's another one that's going to go away.
All right, so we got about a minute. I want to ask you this before we leave. Where do you see a place for gas still? How long do you think gas-powered chainsaws are going to be around?
It's got to be around for quite a while on the commercial side.
Right.
We're already seeing an awful lot of the homeowner stuff, you know, go to battery. You know, people that take stuff out just occasionally, don't run it all the time. Battery technology is not really there yet. Long term, if the, you know, if the auto industry moves towards electric vehicles, you're not going to have gas stations for lawnmowers and chainsaws.
Yeah, geez. All right. Well, if you missed the show, it's a good one. It was What's Going On with Forestry Power Tools, Markets, and More with business owner Bob Kanye, Ashokan Turf and Timber over there in Shokan, Ulster County. Have a good night. See you next week.
Oh, the neon lights were flashing and the icy wind did blow. The water seeped into his shoes and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way. Getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, a vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining, the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year, when the wildflowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games. In an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town, where the river runs down from the forest. With a mighty roar, the big jet soars above the canyon streets. And the con men con, but life goes on, for the city never sleeps. And to an old forgotten soldier, the dawn will come no more. For the old man has come home.